Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, today my guest is George Fuller. George is the creator of Ruck and Run, a nonprofit organization geared towards helping veterans and the military community. So welcome to the show, George. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you for the invitation and excited to share the story about Ruck and Run. I joined the military in 1998 and still serving. So what I do outside of uniform with Ruck and Run as a nonprofit organization, just want to create that that atmosphere to get the community and veterans involved.
Yeah, that's great. And so you're currently serving, and you are doing this as a way of sort of giving back to the veteran community, it seems like. You know, where did you come up with this idea for Ruck and Run?
Yeah, definitely. Before I go into detail, though, and I like where you how your question was, because being in the military, I know there's different transitions within the military. I've been regular Army Reserve. I've been deployed a couple times. I'm now AGR, and I know there's different components. And I also know the feeling of coming back from a deployment. So I also know the difference between civilian and military life. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that we all want to make an impact and we also want to continue our mission. So with me, my impact would be to create an event where veterans in the community can get together. And it really came out from kind of a negative thing. Was I was tired of seeing commercials about the over-commercialization of Veterans Day. You know, like come buy a mattress on Veterans Day, or let's, you know, and I say this from the beginning, it's not about a sale, it's about our service members. And Memorial Day has become the same way, you know, Memorial Day sale, come buy a car. How about we honor those who died in uniform? How about that?
Right.
So that's more important to me. And if I can create an event, which I'm proud to say that me and my team have done so, but we created an event that really draws the public together, that gives them something to do, you know, during mm-hmm. Veterans Day weekend, they can return back to work and say, this is what I did specifically to honor veterans during the Veterans Day weekend.
Right.
And that's something that we really, I'm not saying we're the only ones doing it. I hope around our whole country that people do something similar like that, where they can have an event that draws the attention back to veterans and away from the sale.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, this last year with COVID, everyone has kind of had their schedules kind of screwed up a little bit. I know our kids used to go to a school that every Veterans Day, they did a Veterans Day assembly, and they talked about what Veterans Day was. They brought in some local veterans from, parents who were, in the community who were veterans or currently serving, because we're near an Air Force base. And they did a good job at talking about that. But this year was different. You know, they didn't have any in-person events or anything like that. And I figured that probably a lot of schools around the country and a lot of other organizations around the country wouldn't have these in-person events that they might normally have around Veterans Day. So I did a podcast episode specifically dedicated towards Veterans Day and what it was. And, you know, teachers could use it as an educational type tool if they needed to, or just that was my own little way of honoring veterans on this podcast. But it seems like that's kind of like what you're doing too, is you're raising awareness of Veterans Day, of what it is, and honoring the service of the people who it is supposed to be there for, you know?
Absolutely. It's also not only that, it's also the second, I would say the second side of that coin, not to focus on the negativity, but to refocus the over-commercialization of Veterans Day and other military observances. But we started with Veterans Day. But the other side of that was when I competed in those, like the sprint triathlons, you know, the ones that's like, you know, the smaller version. I'm not an Ironman by any means.
Right.
But those type of things, when the first time I crossed the finish line, there was an instant camaraderie that I had not felt since I was in basic training or AIT or something like calling cadence, right, in a formation. Right. That camaraderie was instantaneous, but and I would say that it built up to that, that like it crescendoed to the finish line, because along the route, whatever I was doing, there was people, we were cheering each other on. It was just a community event. And so I wanted to capture and encapsulate that camaraderie, not only that I recognize from being in the military, but also just that community of, you know, a common ground, you know, like you take people that are great friends and you boil it down to some of the things they're common ground. Some of the things are, they were in a shared space for a amount of time, and sometimes it was a struggle, and that could be applied to anything. It could be applied to police academy or military basic training or, you know, anything. Those shared experiences over a given point in time builds that camaraderie. Like, and I wanted to share that camaraderie. I wanted the community to taste it. When they came across the finish line, they earned their finisher medal. We don't have participation trophies at Ruck and Run. They earned their finisher medal. And you know, we have placement medals, for people that are faster, but we also have it to where people can just do it for fun and just to honor someone. And on top of that, we want to connect the community. So that is the three things. That's our three pillars: honoring those who served, building camaraderie, and connecting the community. And I think that's it. As long as we build upon those three pillars, I think we're doing the community and the veteran community as a greater whole, a good service, because it does refocus. People now people are wearing, you know, we probably average about 400 shirts every year on our annual event, and it's growing, you know, so there's people out there wearing a Ruck and Run shirt for, you know, 5 years or whatever. And that's going to strike up a conversation. Oh, I did the Ruck and Run, or what's Ruck and Run about? And it says right there, it's about honoring those who served.
Absolutely. And that's a great, great cause, you know, honoring, those who served. And I just want to, go back a second here, cause you were talking about the way you build that camaraderie, and through that, the shared experiences. And I know when we were gearing up for our deployment to Afghanistan, we were doing a driving course. We took out the Humvees at night, and we're doing like a nighttime driving, and some of it was off road, and we didn't really realize, because we weren't familiar with the area, we didn't realize exactly how muddy the ground was, and all of our Humvees got stuck in the mud, like deep in the mud, and it was bad. We ended up spending the entire night out there chopping trees down to wedge under the tires of the Humvees. We called in some wreckers to come help pull us out, and they got stuck. It was just a complete nightmare. But because we all, our platoon, shared that experience together, I think in that moment we all grew closer together. And not that we weren't close before, but we grew in that shared experience, that shared suffering of the experience. And it was kind of amazing to see that transformation just in one night of that suck, you know?
I mean, if you haven't seen the movie Step Brothers, I mean, you need to go do your homework, but for those that have seen it, you know, the point where the Step Brothers became like brothers. You know, you could correlate that with any branch, but really, it's those you shoving people together that don't have a similar background, and all of a sudden they're given a common enemy, or a challenge, or something to face together, and all of a sudden they're more tight knit than ever before. And you know, me being a former drill sergeant, I understand from a different perspective than when I was in basic training. The common enemy was, I wouldn't say enemy, but the threat was a drill sergeant, right? So right. That person is like, oh man, he's going to make my muscles sore. And, you know, he's going to smoke us all day long. And we're going to, you know, he's like, beat your face, you know, push up Fort Sill, things like that. When I became a drill sergeant, you know, that's that camaraderie on the trainee level. And then, you know, and even when we were getting ready to go to deployment, like, my first one was to Kuwait, and I was there when it was Udari, and our unit renamed it to Buring. That was pretty neat. So then okay. The second deployment I was in was to Mosul, and I was part of the military transition teams. So I really lived out of a backpack for a long time. I was a chaplain assistant during that time, which is now renamed as a religious affairs NCO. So me and a chaplain, we would travel to 36 different military transition teams or MIT teams. And they were in 17 different locations. So all over Iraq. And I've never been to Afghanistan, but we saw everything in Iraq. And what was amazing was that camaraderie, even within these individual teams, was built upon their shared struggle. And they were put with Iraqi army soldiers, and they were training the Iraqi army in different careers and different branches so that way we could pull out at a certain time. Right?
Right.
So that was the whole mentality. And that was something that was very valuable to see those teams build camaraderie. So to recreate that for Ruck and Run was very important, not just specifically for MIT teams, but as a whole, like the word camaraderie, you know, how that builds people up, and how, let me put you this way. I have a 1951 Dodge Coronet. It's an old car. Mm-hmm. But if I'm driving down the road and I see another 51 Dodge Coronet, you know that we're going to pull over and we're going to talk, right? We have that shared interest. And you know, if you see somebody with a veteran's hat or something else, they might not even know that I'm a veteran. But I say, you know what? I like that hat. Can you tell me a story about that hat? And they start telling me about their military experience. And they don't even need to know at that point if I'm a veteran. By the time it's done, I'm like, you know what? I served too, and I just want to thank you for holding the line so I can do what I'm doing.
Right.
And instantly, you know, if we've served, we can instantly have a conversation where civilians can't really, or they won't really be able to relate the way that we can. However, with Ruck and Run, it's an event where anybody could participate. In fact, I called it Ruck and Run for Veterans at the beginning. And I thought, it just depends on how you read that, because it's Ruck and Run for veterans, like that's the only people that could participate. Or is it Ruck and Run for veterans, like benefiting veterans? So I just dropped the for veterans, kind of like they dropped the word the for Facebook, right?
Right.
So I dropped the for veterans, and then I had it registered trademark. And then we have another registered trademark for honoring those who served. And I'll tell you, the D in honoring those who served is in parentheses, because it has a note between those that are currently serving and those that have served honorably. So in that sense, people come out to the and participate in the event, and they'll do it in honor of someone that, in their life, that served in the military. So that gives them something tangible. That gives them something like an event. It's tangible. I can put my finger on that. That's what I did right there to honor this family member or this service member in my life. And that right there, I mean, that's our message. That's what we're all about, is honoring those who serve.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I think is very hard for veterans who are making that transition that you were talking about earlier between military service and their newly found civilian life, even though we've all been civilians at one point or another, but it seems like that part of your brain gets reprogrammed once you get into the military. And we have trouble when we get out of the military and transition back to the civilian life with finding common ground with other civilians and making those connections and finding that camaraderie that you seem to be working so hard to kind of building up. So organizations like this and events like this are, I think, a great way to help find some of that common ground amongst service members.
Absolutely. We upped the ante on that one too. So as a drill sergeant, I wanted to create this event, not only to honor those who serve, but to bring the community together. And what better way to do that than an event like this? And what better way than to invite local drill sergeant units from Fort Leonard Wood and a reserves, a drill sergeant unit, reserve unit in Springfield, Missouri. And it's based out of Missouri, by the way, Springfield, Missouri area. It's Republic, Missouri. That's the home of Ruck and Run. So those drill sergeants will come out and they'll be on the stations along the route. And it's funny, like I remember it was like July or something. I was getting ready to go down to Fort Sill for some time to serve as a drill sergeant. I remember doing some recon and stuff and having my rucksack and I'm on the route and I'm making notes. And I tell you, there's nothing like rucking to get your mind going. And so I had to, I was, instead of me trying to type it out while I'm rucking, I just had a video playing. And I remember, I have a video of when I changed my mind from going, it's going to be a 5K. No, it's going to be a 5.56K. So to a little homage to the NATO round, right? And we have a 7.62. Right. We're adding 11.11 this year because of Veterans Day is always 11.11.
Right.
But right there is it's an opportunity, really. I keep saying opportunity, but it really is an opportunity for the for civilians to get a taste, a small taste of basic training. So let's say they go in there and they say, hey, I'm going to do this for Sergeant Smith. He's in my family. You know, I'm going to go out there and do that. And then they start going to station one where there's pushups and the drill sergeant's there yelling at them. I mean, motivating them, you know, knife handing. And they're saying, do pushups, you know, and they're counting them and they're doing them wrong. And drill sergeant's like one, you're not doing them right. Do it over, you know? And that whole thing right there is where they're getting a small taste of military training where, and I'm talking like people that have military family or people that are getting ready to get into the military or people that have been out of the military, you know, you'll have people kind of snicker at them and stuff. And drill sergeants, you better keep moving, you know, and it's a fun family type thing. So don't let that intimidate you, but it is intimidating. It's both sides really. And really right there is where they get an opportunity to say, oh, you know what? I had a very small taste. It's nothing like basic training, but I had a small taste of what you went through. I've never had a drill sergeant yell at me like that before. And that they gain a greater respect for the military service member in their life right there. Boom, home run.
Yeah. And I think anything that you could do to help further the knowledge and understanding of the civilians who maybe never served themselves or never knew anyone who served to increase that understanding of what it's like to go to basic training. You know, they don't really have any idea other than, you know, watching Full Metal Jacket or, you know, movies like that, where they see those types of images, but they don't get to experience it themselves. The, you know, someone literally in your face, knife hand screaming, you know, the whole nine yards, that's a whole lot different than sitting back with a bag of popcorn and watching a movie.
Absolutely.
It's a completely different experience.
Yeah. So, and I'll go back for a second for, our logo right now is a fire pit. And so I came up with that idea because as a military transition team member, religious support, you know, there was times where a lot of times where we came back from a mission and we had this little fire pit. Now it's not a burn pit, but it's a fire pit. So we had our lunch. You know, we weren't on a forward observing base or a FOB. We weren't on a forward base. So we were out in the middle of nowhere, in our Iraqi base, and we had this little fire going and we would decompress at that fire. And that right there meant a lot to me. So that was a lot of the camaraderie, not only the finish line, not only the basic training, not only all those aspects, but to sit around a fire pit. How many times do we think, at least I do, I think, you know what? I would love to be out at a fire pit right now, just sharing memories with people that I served with. And so we made that fire pit a centralized feature of our event. It's right in front of the stage. I don't think any other event does that. But it's right there. And every year it's roaring, it's hot. We had one year we had it 12 degrees. Some years we have it too warm for the fire, but people are still there and they're sharing their stories. And I'm going to tell you what, we had a Marine that was there and he participated in the event after he was, I believe he had a combat injury and he was recovering from it. And this was his time in Afghanistan. and he was wearing a shirt with a name on it, Brian Opsgar. And then he was coming across the finish line, right? I'm like, man, this guy, I can't, you know, it's amazing. He came up to me and said, this is the first Ruck and Run event I've ever done. This is the first event that I've done that I did it with my physical therapist because I wanted to honor Brian and his sacrifice. And then a lady came over to him and was looking at his shirt. And I'm kind of telling a story from, you know, like three times removed. But this lady was looking at the shirt and then went over to another guy, and it was her husband, and said, the Brian Opsgar on your shirt is the same name that's on his shirt. And so those two guys met up, and I'm getting goosebumps right now telling the story. It's just, it blows me away every time I think about it. But these two service members haven't seen each other in over a decade, and they were both Marines together in Afghanistan. Can you believe that?
That's
they
crazy.
Were living in the same town, and they came to Ruck and Run, and the name was on their shirt, and they were honoring Brian Opsgar's sacrifice on that same day. That just blows me away every time I share it.
And they didn't even realize that they were that they were there to get not only at that event, but necessarily, but also living in the same area. You know.
Yeah, and the other thing is this was the second year we had Ruck and Run, and their first event was the second annual. It just blows me away every time I think about it.
Wow. That's great. It's great that you can bring people together like that too. From all branches of the service, and they come together and, share stories and get to know about each other and stuff, especially around the fire pit, and have that other, common shared experience, because it's not all about the suffering, you know, the pain of the shared experience. There's also the the fun aspect of it too, and hanging out and getting to know each other, you know.
And let me add this, if you don't mind. One thing is that I was listening to, and I'm sure you've heard of it, the Team Never Quit podcast.
Yes.
And they had Dan Luna on there the other day, and I listened, or it was a long time ago, but I listened to it the other day, Dan Luna. And he mentioned something that I want to mention as well, is that and you talked about civilians watching Full Metal Jacket, right? And this is what kind of put that in my head. And I'm actually surprised I remembered it. but here's the thing, though. You know how I think that too often in our current time that veterans are painted as broken and always having PTSD or always having something wrong with them. So if you look on any type of show, I would say on a greater average, you're going to see the veteran is going to be the one struggling with substance abuse or PTSD or suicidal ideations or even actions, and different things like that. Look, that's not what veterans are about. And this event right here shows that. We're, you know, all the veterans that show up, we're not walking around with our heads hung low. We're not suffering from PTSD, all of us. We're not all broken and dysfunctional. That's not what this is about. We're veterans. We served, and then there might be a transition because our profession is violence.
Right.
That's what the military is about. You could disagree with me, whatever, but our profession is executing violence upon our enemies. That's what it is. It's whether you're doing it by pulling a trigger or you're doing it by support. You're either supporting it or actually doing it. Our profession is violence. And then you take that, and this is the same thing that Dan Luna mentioned in his podcast. I highly recommend that anyone who listened to that, but it's almost like they attach the morality to it. That's what he's saying. They attach the morality to violence. And so when we're taught, hey, don't do that, instead of saying, you know, we go in the military, it's like, hey, you're getting ready to be into a profession where it's all about violence, but this is how you're going to do it because it's against our enemies. And then you can't do that at home, because that would be wrong. And that's the case, right? That I agree with that. And he goes into detail, and I'll let him speak on that because he's the expert. He's a subject matter expert on that. But what I'm trying to say is Ruck and Run is not about a whole bunch of veterans coming up and saying, you know, I have PTSD, and that's not how veterans should be painted. And if I could fight against that, I will, because the community is going to come together the Saturday before Veterans Day. Sometimes it falls on Veterans Day itself for Ruck and Run, for an annual event, and they're going to get to interact with soldiers, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, everything. And they're going to see how they're just like them. They just serve their country and they did it honorably. We don't have to have this stigma. And I don't get why, you know, I could point my finger at Hollywood, and I'm not here to do politics, but you know, that's the thing. Veterans should not be painted always as broken, dysfunctional PTSD, you know?
Yeah. And I know from television shows, you know, network television, movies, things like that, a lot of times you're right. It's the veterans are the broken ones, or they're, you know, they're struggling with addiction and, or, you know, things like that. And it's not always the case that, I mean, we do have our fair share of problems, and we do have, you know, some issues that we need to work out amongst the veterans that are out there. But it's not 100% of veterans, you know, so it's not like you're going to run into a veteran and all of a sudden he's going to be, acting out or anything like that. We're not dangerous people. You know, I mean, we have the capacity to be dangerous people, but we know how to rein that in, I think a lot of it, we should be able to. Yes. I do agree with that.
Cause that's training.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think the military does to get you to, as a service member, to get you to be able to act violently against your enemy is, dehumanizing the enemy. You know, right or wrong, it's just one way of doing that, because it's not now no longer a person that you're attacking. It's, you come up with a nickname or something like that, and it sort of dehumanizes them, and it allows you to do that. But when you see the person in the grocery store, that's still a person, you know, that you haven't dehumanized that person, you know?
Absolutely. And I can't speak to being in combat, taking on bullets or taking out the enemy. I've only trained to do that. Mm-hmm. So I can't speak to that side, but I can speak to, let's say that side that we are trained to do, like you said, we have to be able to rein that in. And I think that with Ruck and Run being that community event, and we have people from all over Fort Leonard Wood, Kansas City, we have Tulsa, Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas. They come from all over. We had somebody fly in from San Diego. He met there with another ranger that they were in, I believe, the 75th together. And it was pretty neat that three guys came together from the Rangers to meet mm-hmm. The 75th Ranger Regiment. And they came to meet at Ruck and Run. I think that's pretty neat. So what I'm saying is, like, to get people together to see that we're not just a bunch of pit bulls with chains on us. You know, we're not all broken and all dysfunctional. A lot of us just want to make an impact in our community, and that's what Ruck and Run is going to do. A lot of us just want to help out other people. And I'm going to tell you this, a lot of veterans want to go to events like this because they want to reach out to other veterans, because they're the ones that can reach out to them the best. Mm-hmm. Because if you've served in the military, you and I can speak the same language, whether it's TI or a drill sergeant or a drill instructor, all that, that's the same to us. We understand it's a campaign hat. We get it. We can speak it a different language, and we can speak it. It's our own culture. And then we have these subcultures within. My degree is in intercultural studies. And I think that I truly believe that the military itself is its own culture. And within the military, and then you have the different branches. And even within the branches, you have different branches, you know, like engineer or military police, and you have different units, and you have different regiments, and you have different, like staff or anything else. Those cultures, I wouldn't know the first thing about the SOF community. So I want to learn from that, but I know about on a baseline level. And that's how Ruck and Run is going to continue to function as a nonprofit organization, because veterans are going to get there and they're going to say, how can I reach out to this other veteran? Because he may be struggling with PTSD. We don't know it. Right. And we come together and we're rucking alongside each other. And all of a sudden, that communication starts, and they would have never seen each other. But like this other example, they didn't see each other in over a decade. Mm-hmm. That communication starts going, that was brought out of camaraderie and connection in the first place. So that communication is rebuilt or built from the ground up. And now those veterans have a conversation later on or later on that day from Ruck and Run. And that all of a sudden these issues are coming out. And I'm going to tell you, this is why I know this, because I make it a point. So I take leave from my military service and go to Missouri, and I'm there for 2 weeks or something, but I make a point to schedule as much as I can to meet with veterans, not only before the event, during the event, but also after the event. And I remember meeting with one of the veterans after the event. It was just amazing. We just went to lunch and just talked. It was like 2 hours. And who knows what we talked about, but I'm going to tell you what, we both needed it, because iron sharpens iron in my book. You know, if I can get around another veteran and we can sharpen each other and we can share stories, we can embellish a little bit, or we can, you know, crack jokes. But right there, that's camaraderie. That's connecting right there. That's honoring.
Exactly.
I'm honoring his service. He's honoring my service at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not a participation trophy, but we can connect like no other people can. And we don't even have to really know each other. We just start with the baseline. Did you wear camos? Yep. Let's talk.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other benefit to having something like this is for some of the, possibly even for some of the wounded veterans who are looking for a way to reconnect to their military service. You know, maybe they've been medically discharged and they're looking to challenge themselves. You know, maybe they had a, you know, an injury that made them get out of the service, and they're looking to challenge themselves, and getting back into something like this is probably a good thing for them therapeutically, maybe to you know, to get back into the military community, and also challenge their own physical limitations, you know, after the injuries that they may have sustained.
Right. There's a correlation right there, because, you know, the last time that you were in a formation called Encadence with each other,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't know when it's going to be your last time doing that. But I think everyone in the military that has experienced that would love to do that again. And so that's that level of camaraderie, like, oh, I didn't know that. Or how about the last time you're in uniform? You know, I still wear the uniform, but the last time I wear that uniform, it's going to be different that next day, because I could put it on after that if I still fit it, you know, if I maintain my physical appearance and stuff.
Right.
But after I've already got my separation papers, it's different. So that last day that we're wearing a uniform, and to bring people back in and do that. And, you know, not only with the injured, but just the community to see, you know, we all know that there's wounds that aren't seen. And
yes.
That may be that's more to the story there. But I'm talking like someone that comes to the event that got their leg blown off by an IED. And I'm going to tell you why I know this. While I was in uniform serving in D.C., I was the liaison for all the combat wounded that came in from overseas. And then I did the numbers right before I left PCS, and it was around 700 battle injured that came in. And I remember seeing this Marine Corps service member. He was an E8, and he had both legs blown off from an IED. He had shrapnel on his face. His team members had shrapnel on the face, and you could see their camaraderie on that flight line. I'm not medical. I'm just going to put that out there. I was there as a liaison, so I made sure that they got the Army emergency relief funds, and that they needed to help them in their transition from battlefield to home front.
Mm-hmm.
But it really opened my eyes to that whole thing. I had no idea. That Marine Corps service member that I met on the plane coming in from Launchtool, he was calling me Sergeant. He's E8. I was like, brother, you don't have to call me nothing, man. I'm just glad you're on this flight and you're safe. And so to make sure that the service members that were battle injured got the Army emergency relief was my job in uniform. And what I did was I translated that back into Ruck and Run. And so what we established was two funds. One fund was in their honor, and the other fund is called Honoring Those Who Served. And the In Their Honor fund is helping a family that has lost a service member while they're in uniform. And the other one is Honoring Those Who Served. And that's just honoring someone's service to the country. They could still be in serving, or they're a veteran. So with Honoring Those Who Served, is on the one hand, but in their honor is the sacrifice made in uniform. And right. we don't want to, we built up that fund, we earmarked it, and we built up that fund. Thankfully, but unfortunately, we did have to use that once. And we did that in order to honor and to help out a family that lost a service member. He was a reserve soldier, but also a law enforcement officer in Springfield, Missouri. So we gave his family some funds to help out during that difficult time of his loss. He was killed in line of duty. Mm-hmm. And, but then on the other hand, we had, a service member, a veteran, and, she was a veteran and her husband was deployed and they lost their daughter, to type 1 diabetes. And so we were able to, as a nonprofit organization, help that family out through the Honoring Those Who Served Fund. And I'll tell you this though, it was last April that they lost their 12-year-old daughter. And so we've been trying to figure out a way to do something with that, to honor their family and her and being a military child. So what we're doing in April is we're doing an event called The Military Kid, and it's not released yet, but it's to honor her and her family, but also to honor all military children out there. So we're doing an event where you can earn a challenge coin, and it's going to be her two favorite colors were purple and blue, and it's a specific purple and blue. And it's kind of I don't know if ironic would be the appropriate word to use, but in the month of April is the military child, and they use purple for that month, and that's the month she passed away. And then her other favorite color is blue, and it's more like a Cheyenne blue. Mm-hmm. And that color is actually the same as type 1 diabetes awareness. Wow. So those two colors are going to, and I think that this event's going to help out with raising awareness about the military child, but we're also using the proceeds from that specific month's activity and any donations coming to Ruck and Run in that regard, to build a scholarship for a deserving military kid. So it's going to be a good event. And like you've probably seen from our website, we have these monthly events where people can earn a challenge coin. I know that there's organizations that do patches, but we do challenge coins because that's what the military has. Mm-hmm. So then earning challenge coins, one of those things. And the Ruck and Run series, it's a 10-month series culminating with our annual event. So those are ongoing. Anybody can jump in anytime. They're just kind of geared towards a certain month. But that's how we're redirecting back to what Veterans Day is all about, what military service is all about, honoring and considering the military child, because, you know, I've missed birthdays, right? But right. My child also missed their dad being there for their birthday. And it's important to honor that as well.
It is. And I think people tend to forget the families, the spouses and the children who are left behind when the service member is either deployed or off training or whatever it is that they are doing. A lot of times people forget that sacrifice as well. And I think events like what you're doing is great, a great way to honor their service or their sacrifice as well. Mm-hmm. You know, for what it is that they have to endure.
Absolutely. I know there's a time where I'm thinking around Desert Storm a little bit after that, you know, the saying would be if the Army wanted me to have a family, they'd issue it to me or wife or something. Yeah. But I'm thankful now that the military has actually shifted and understood the importance, not only of physical fitness, spiritual fitness, but also the family fitness, you know, how the family is involved in the soldier or the service member's life. Cause I know that not all service members are called soldiers, you know, if you're a Marine, you're a Marine. Right. So if you served, you know, I think each military branch, within their purview has recognized the importance and, elevated the importance of the family. And I think that's a good thing. That's a good transition.
Yeah, it's moving in the right direction as far as that goes, where it's no longer, you know, like you said, if they wanted you to have a family, they would have issued one. But right. that's it's not like that so much anymore. No, at least it shouldn't be. Anyways,
yeah. And we're not going to talk about the mandatory fun days, are we? I mean, that's
no, no. Well, like, so that's a whole different.
Yeah,
that's a whole different can of worms. I don't think we need to open right now. So, so where can people go to support Ruck and Run? You know, if they're in the Missouri area, obviously you have the events going on there, but if people want to get involved and they're not local in that Missouri area, how can they get involved?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you mentioned the Missouri, because the annual event is in Missouri, but we do have virtual events. So, and what's crazy about our current situation with COVID has really shed a light on virtual events, where before it was kind of a struggle to explain what it was about, kind of like the struggle with what's rucking all about, right? So I think that, you know, we have a better understanding as a culture of what rucking is. We also have a better culture or understanding of what a virtual event is. So we have these virtual events. We've had them since year two. We called them a shadow event, but we're just going with the times. It's a virtual event. So we have every annual event. You could also do it virtual. We'll get the same finisher medal. You get a event shirt. We do neck gaiters, cinch bags, wristband. We send that to you. You could do it anywhere. In fact, we've had people deployed do that in their free time. Mm. And you just sign up through ruckandrun.org. You can do any of the monthly challenges whenever you want, or you can stay on schedule with us either way. And those are virtual as well. So you don't have to be in Republic, Missouri to do it. We would love for everyone that every one of your listeners to come out to Republic, Missouri for the 7th annual Ruck and Run on November 6th. Yes, that was a plug. but we'd love for them to come out. But if they can't, they can support it that way. We are a nonprofit, and I do want to state again, I don't do any Ruck and Run stuff while I'm in uniform. That's a no-no. But also, I don't get any income whatsoever from doing this. This is a passion of mine, and it's a community thing. So as of now, I don't get any type of check from Ruck and Run at all. And that's an amazing thing, you know, because nonprofits should be pretty transparent when it comes to profits and nonprofits and things like that. So,
right.
But as it stands, that's how it is. And so they can support, they go to ruckandrun.org. We also have social media. They can share a post just like anybody else would do. And of course, donating, that's one way you could do it. You could donate specifically to a cause. You know, there's the Honoring Those Who Served Fund. There's the In Their Honor Fund. There's the General Fund. There's even the Military Kid Fund that they could do if they want to contribute to the scholarship to the deserving military child that's coming up in April. So there is that way. Really, just getting involved in the Ruck and Run community is huge. Once you earn a finisher medal, you are part of our legion. And that's a big step. So we encourage anyone that's out there that doesn't know what rucking's all about or is an expert to earn their finisher medal. Just go to ruckandrun.org, ruckandrun.org.
And all of the links for your website and social media and everything will be in the show notes too. So anyone who's looking for that, okay, you can find all of that there, and you can follow them on social media, share their posts, you know, help raise awareness, maybe even get a team together to, of people to either travel out to Missouri or to, do one of the virtual events and do it from your home area, wherever that may be. And get involved with it and try to help out some of these service members and their families. I think that's
right.
A great cause. George,
you mentioned the team.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm glad you mentioned the teams, because that's very important. We have several events that needs a team leader, the team leader for our August event and also our April event. So being a team leader is pretty important. So if you want to reach out to our team, just info@ruckandrun.org, just say, hey, I want to be a team leader for one of these. You can organize wherever you are on the map. You can organize an event where you are, and then we will supply the finisher medal or the challenge coin, whichever event you or mission you choose to do. And that's a great step as well, because you're basically being a liaison for Ruck and Run in your own community, wherever you are.
Yeah, wonderful. Any last thoughts, George, about that you might be able to give to the listeners, whether it's anything else that we didn't cover about your organization, or any advice for transitioning service members, or anything along those lines that you might want to add?
I think it's important to understand that community involvement is so important for the veterans that are transitioning. I mean, I've transitioned differently as far as from components and inactive and active statuses. I've got 5 DD-214s just because of back and forth from active and reserve and stuff. Mm-hmm. So with those transitions though, community is important. So getting around a group of people that are like-minded or that want to do something similar than you. I mean, what's that saying that says, that's a terrible idea. What time, what time do you want to do? That's the type of people that we're after. Or even people that are novice or don't know what rucking's all about. Veterans, I would encourage the veterans that are listening. You have your own unique story and you had your own unique mission while on active duty or serving in the reserves or however you served. Like I tell people, leverage that. Leverage your military experience, not only in the civilian world, like the job market, but leverage it within your community. Make an impact in your community, because the community is going to not see veterans as broken, dysfunctional, PTSD as a whole. But they're going to see us as contributing, impactful civilians that did serve in the military honorably. And I think that makes a big difference in our community. George Washington, if I could paraphrase, I'm not going to get the quote right, so I won't try. But he said, when we join the military, we don't let go of the civilian to become the service member. And again, I'm paraphrasing, but it is a true statement. What he says is that we don't let go of the civilian. We are still inside of us. We're still civilians. And it's important to reconnect with family and loved ones and our community, and also make new connections within our community to make an impactful or to make an impact in our community. I think that's very valuable in what we do. And through that, we can continue to, quite simply, refocus what Veterans Day is all about. It's not about a sale, it's about our service members. Yep. And one thing that I would mention again is that Ruck and Run has no signs of slowing. So I would invite you to come out to an event. If you can't make it, just go on our website, fish around. We've got a mission page. In fact, I would direct you to our videos page, and there's some outstanding videos of our last couple of events, or actually all of our events. And just check those out, share them. I mean, it's podcasts like yours that shine a light on what Ruck and Run's all about. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that through this podcast, people would reach out to you or even Ruck and Run or myself, to where we can have those conversations that might be difficult, but we can have those conversations that are definitely going to be encouraging, because we can have those difficult conversations, but also it could be encouraging as well. And if there's a veteran out there listening and it wants to get connected or wants to do something impactful, I would just recommend start by having a team and just say, hey, I heard this crazy thing called Ruck and Run. I'm willing to lead a team. Who's with me? What time?
Yeah, absolutely. Getting involved in things like this could be that thing. If they're struggling, they're going to be able to get involved and find that camaraderie again, and that might just be what they're looking for,
Absolutely.
And one of the things that there's really two reasons, two parts of this podcast. One is sharing the struggles and the triumphs of veterans who went through an issue and they came out on the other side a better person, and that's there to give hope to the other veterans who might be listening, but also to shine light on organizations like Ruck and Run and all the other organizations and that we've interviewed on this podcast, because they may not otherwise know about these organizations. And so I want to spread the word about all of these different types of organizations that are out there, whether they're therapeutic for a veteran or not. To me, I think that's up to the individual to decide. But organizations like this, Ruck and Run, could definitely have that therapeutic value of building the camaraderie and getting people together and getting out there and doing something physical and reconnecting with the military community. And so that's
indeed,
that's why we do things like this and have episodes like this where we shine the light on organizations that could be beneficial to people.
Absolutely. I wanted to go back on your first question, like, why did I form Ruck and Run? Like, what was this idea all about? But yeah, I started off by saying it was to redirect or refocus it over commercialization of Veterans Day. And it was also to provide veterans in the community an opportunity, a tangible opportunity to come together. But as we're sitting here peeling the layers back of this, I want to readdress that question. The main reason why, and I didn't even find this out until someone really probed, like, they kept asking me why, you know, and they peeled back these layers, and I hopefully have peeled back the layers enough to reveal this, that I started Ruck and Run because I needed it. And that might sound crazy selfish, but I needed it. I needed something to do besides sitting on the street and looking at a parade going by. And nothing wrong with parades, but the participants of Ruck and Run is not the same as sitting on the sidelines looking at a parade going by on Veterans Day.
Right.
I needed the conversation around the fire pit. In fact, that's why we have camping overnight. We have people that come out at packet pickup on Friday and they stay overnight by the fire pit. And we wake up and we're right there at the event. That camaraderie is irreplaceable. I needed that. So yeah, it may be selfish, but it's true. It really is true, because when someone probed me about that question, like, well, no, but why are you doing this? Yeah, I understand over-commercialization. Just get past that. Why are you doing this? Because I need it. And I think that's the real heart of it, is because I was struggling and I needed that camaraderie. I wanted that something that's tangible, that I could say, this is how I'm honoring those who served. And yes, I have served, but I'm talking about, what about the service member over there that doesn't feel like he's honored in his sacrifice? What about the Vietnam veteran that got spit on when they came back home? What about the World War II veteran that no one wants to hear their stories anymore? How do I honor them? Not honor me. How do I honor them? And like I said before, you're talking about someone that has a veteran hat and you ask them about the story. That's what I do. They don't have to know I'm a veteran. So right, if I can step outside of that for just a second in some, you know, metaphorical way, how do I honor those who serve? I'm not including myself in that. I'm saying, how do I honor the sacrifices of my brothers and sisters? And that's the story of Ruck and Run right there.
Well, there you have it. Well, George, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today, learning about Ruck and Run and everything that it's doing and how it's benefiting the military community, the veteran community. Thank you for sharing everything about it, your story, and how it got started. I just want to make sure people remember where to go to find Ruck and Run, ruckandrun.org. It's R-U-C-K, the letter N-R-U-N.org. And you can find all of the social media links on their website. I'll have all these links in the show notes as well. George, again, thank you for joining me.
It's an honor. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.